Good morning and welcome to Brass Talk Sunday for the 19th day of January 2020. Now today, what are we talking about? What is the focus of today's program? Today we're looking at how has been your experience with contractors and artisans in Barbados. We're looking at how can one protect themselves going forward. There have been many complaints on this program, and I am sure outside of this program, with the quality of work being done, incomplete work, etc., etc., etc. We've heard it all here in the rum shop, in the barber shop, in the gas station. And today we're putting a focus on it with persons in the know on both sides. The other question we're asking ourselves today here on Brass Tack Sunday is, what does the law prescribe in the case where either party, whether the contractor or the contractee, the person getting the work done, feels sufficiently aggrieved that they need to, you know, have a remedy to whatever situation they find themselves in? So that's another part of the question we're asking today. Today, to help me to discuss this issue, and it is funny enough because some weeks ago, we wanted to do this program because there was a call for an association, a call for a group or body that can help regulate the artisans and the contractors in Barbados to help mitigate some of the issues people raise here on and off the program. And I'm happy to be joined by some members of the Barbados Contractors and Artisans Cooperative Society Limited, who are in studio with me this morning. So it gives me great pleasure to welcome a part of the steering committee. So we have Interim President Michael Harris Jr. Good morning and welcome, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Good, good. We have Interim Vice President Michael Barnes.
Greetings,
good,
sir.
Greetings, good morning. And we have Godfrey Bartlett. He is a consultant to the cooperative. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, sir.
All right. Now, so I want you to not only sit back, but be prepared to share some of your experiences. And one of the things I could tell you about this group is, since I've been in contact with them and persons have called, they've reached out to get contact or to get in connection with persons so they can help to, you know, go through the issues with them. So they're although it's a steering committee, they've started off very well. They've hit the ground running in terms of bringing resolution and action to your issues. So as you know, the drill around 20 after 11 o'clock, we're going to open the telephone lines. But in the meantime and in between time, you can take the number if you don't have it yet. 434-1790, that's 434-1790. You can send your short WhatsApp to 266-4862, and that is the way to reach us. Of course, I want to say good morning to the chat, the Beijing line chat call, take off when the shoe's at the door. Those are the ways to reach out to us. And what I'm also going to do, I'm going to pull from some of the WhatsApps when this issue came up from before. I've saved a couple. And of course, from the social media on Facebook, last week we had an old lady call in some dire straits. Wednesday, the week before. And it started a social media thread on my page. So I'm going to pull some comments from that as well. So we're going to looking forward to an informative program where people can know how to protect themselves going forward. So I just want to let you know this program is being brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated.
Get all your lumber needs from us. We have number one treated pine, all different types of plywood, V-joint, siding board, and concrete board. In addition, we have grade 3 2x4s and form ply for boxing.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Good morning. So before we go any further, the consultant, Godfrey Bartlett, he has offered to start the program with a prayer. So over to you, Mr. Bartlett.
Good morning, Barbados. Pray that everyone in this country would be listening and be ready to bow their heads in a slight prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, I thank you for this opportunity whereby this beautiful little country, although we have been facing so much atrocities, my prayer is that the Lord will bless this country continually, grant us the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding that we may go forward. I also pray for Her Excellency, Mayor Amar Montney, and His Excellency Owen Seymour Arthur. I pray that they may be able to vindicate the calling of this nation, especially for the youth, the young people in Barbados that need so much assistance. And I pray that the Supreme God will always bless the civil country as he has before, as in the national anthem, in plenty and in time of need. That in this time of need that he will be there for us because he has shielded us of so many. And I pray that the Christian society, the Hindus, the Baha'is, the Nation of Islam, all those Christian organizations will come together as one, because there's only one God and he's have many names, and I pray that we would understand that and have an amicable solution for this most simple problem. Thank you very much. May God bless you.
Amen. Now, in terms of experience with contractors, today's topic, I want to start with you, Michael, President Michael, that Michael. What really, for you, is the biggest issue surrounding all of the complaints that you've heard so far? What is at the core of it, in your opinion?
Greetings, Barbados. A blessing to everyone in the earshot of my voice. Here this morning to represent a steering committee of the Barbados Contractors and Artisans Cooperative Society, a new entity that has formed. And to direct to the question pertaining to Mr. Lane, the experience that we are having in this country is persons that entering into contracts or even verbal agreement with workers and contractors, they are not protecting themselves by doing the right things, getting someone to help be a consultant, also to guide them down the line, to help advise them. If a person come to you, is a requirement, you can investigate the person, you ask the person for letters of recommendation, you ask the persons to produce some number that they can tap to see if this person is competent. Also, you could find out by seeing some quality work from the person. And then you could enter an agreement basically by a quotation to protect yourself and protect the person. He signed one, you sign one.
All right, so in terms of reaching out to us to have this program, and what are some of the objectives you hope to achieve by having a program like this?
Well, we need to get this unified body that was calling for years in this country. Now, this is the first time ever in this country you have a unified body pertaining to contractors and artisans at the low end, at the bottom end. And as you can see, the words of Marcus Messiah Garvey, we have to emancipate ourselves from mental slavery, and only ourselves can free our minds. So, in order to do that, you got to protect yourself.
All right, in terms of the association thus far, the cooperative, what are the numbers looking like? What are some of the areas you have registered so far, or is it just starting in a very small body? Give the public an understanding of what this cooperative looks like, this Contractors and Artisan Cooperative Society.
Basically, this we was once before the Barbados Contractors and Artisans Inc. After attending some meetings with David Commonsong, Minister of Labour, Colin Jordan, Minister Greg Salinan, the point we in direction to become a cooperative. At this time, we can about 200 persons in the cooperative, strike across the board pertaining to the building team, architects, engineers, quantity surveyors, subcontractors, supervisors, mason, carpenters, laborers, steel benders, tall plaster. Across the board, we have everybody ready and willing and able to go to execute any job given to this organization that organized yourself from the bottom.
So if there's someone out there requiring work, as you say, you have right across the board, you got your tilers, you got mechanics, you got plumbers, The public should be able to approach this cooperative to be able to gain the fit for purpose type person to do the job. And if there are any issues, they should be able to come back to the same cooperative and have them addressed.
Correct, sir.
Good. Now, you've been a contractor for how many years?
I was in the industry over 34 years. Mm-hmm. I was saying I become a contractor over 20-something years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So tell us about your experience in both, actually. 34 years as an artisan and now as a contractor. For just tell us about your experience. How has it been?
My journey start in the 80s as a labor alongside my dad that has passed away, Michael Harris Sr. I think that Michael Harris Sr. has taught me and equipped me with all the experience I need for this industry. And God bless his soul in his grave. And to carry along also the legacy of this great man, it dawned on me to step up, to be certified in certain fields, attending the Samuel Jackman Prescott Polytechnic in small building formanship, construction supervision, attending, yes, to also get up to grade with getting the book work right, because without the book work, you cannot get nothing done. Get the accounts right, get everything right, because it's a whole mix. It's not only being a tradesman, but once you step up to be a contractor, you got to manage money, and you got to manage money well. You got to make sure that you're not paying out the money that you're supposed to earn as your profit. So that journey has been a very long journey. And during that journey, I have met a lot of great people. A man that I can say that put me out there is former architect Ian Morrison, that I have got a lot of praises for. This man has built out the landscape of this country, Port St. Charles, Port Ferdinand, Harancourt. When you talk about the West Coast, you talk about the great Ian Morrison. And I have the opportunity to walk alongside Ian Morrison on many times on a number of construction projects. And it was a great feeling that he have given to me, and he have given that same opportunity to a lot of black men like Mr. Edmund Paris, BC Construction, Andrew Scanterbury Construction, Charles Holton. And these are all men that are in the 70s. And my journey in a one after administration in the construction boom, I have touched all the major construction jobs in this country due to Ian Morrison.
In terms of being in the industry for 34 years, you obviously would have had to run into some difficulty at some time, some bad work, some incomplete work. How were you able to resolve those issues?
Well, usually, my experience pertaining to that. Seeing Mr. Morrison specialize in special finishes, and if Mr. Morrison give a contractor, a main contractor, a job to execute, and he ran into certain troubles, Morrison bringing his special team to help execute his finishes. Mm-hmm. So that is one of the things that helped me to put myself out there in the early years, and working on a number of construction jobs in this country with main contractors as a subcontractor, rectifying jobs pertaining to bad work become the norm for me, because Mr. Morrison will be looking for a special finish, and in order to get that special finish, he know the person that can execute that finish, and that's where he come in.
All right. So, Michael Barnes, tell us a bit about you.
Greetings.
Greetings.
Well, I was in the construction field from early 90s. I worked with some of the top reputable companies in Barbados, Rotley. I worked with also Abacus Builders, Jada, and Inatec Services as well. My main thing was, when I first started, I was a laborer, then painter, then charshan, foreman, and supervisor of all the finishes of some top companies in Barbados.
Okay, good, good. And in terms of, now you, Mr. Bartlett, in terms of being a consultant to the cooperative, what are your main responsibilities?
Yeah, my main responsibility is...
Into the mic, yeah.
My main responsibilities as a contractor and consultant, because I actually went to trade at 14 years old. In the days when I went to trade, I'm actually 66 years old now, and I was in the field for 52 years. And in that, I would be mathematically powerful, because that the school I went to, I didn't went to a high school, like other people. I went to elementary school at the seventh standard, was what we get at sixth form in the Lodging Harrison College. We did all the mathematical equations, geography, geometry, everything. Algebra, everything we did in one compaction. It was arithmetic, and then you get, now in the north, we call it mathematics. But when I went to trade, I was very knowledgeable in reading the drawing. We used to do something called scale drawing. So you could look at any plan that on the site as an apprentice and read it. So my pay was actually about $11.25. Now, with a lot of money in 68, you could have, that is about the equivalent of $1,000 now. Because a bicycle, you get a bicycle at $10 or $15. So you would understand that I had a good upbringing in the construction area. I started from scratch as an apprentice. And apprenticeship is very important in Barbados to help the youth to be doing something. Instead of having child labor, I believe that have to be abolished. Because when you have the young people and they're not having anything to do, to find something to do, when you're 14 years old, you're strong and vigorous. And I believe that is the way that the direction of Barbados will go, so we can build it again. And we are the people, as in a consultant, I have looked to, I wanted to form such a corporation. As if when I heard Mr. Michael Parris preambulate on this subject, I was very elated. I said, this is the way to go. This is the only way that Barbados can become international. And to become an international cooperative, we are not only speaking of Barbados alone as a consultant, we are looking about educating the Caribbean. And not only Caribbean, but we're going into Germany, France, everywhere that we would be, our input can be constructed. So I'm saying that in my experience in construction, in the older days, our workers were precise. If you got to get work at 7:30, you're on a job at 7. And that is one of the things we got to stop our children from sleeping so late. Before the sunrise, every person should be up praying. And from prayer, then you should be then going your normal course. And that is the only way that we can get on track. And what I'm saying to you, my dear sir, is that construction is the heartbeat of any nation. When construction is not flourishing, the people suffer. And it's very terrible to see that we're also instrumental in having this cooperative going on very heartily. It's because they can see the need for it. And in my construction field, I came from mason, the carpentry, tiling, plumbing. There's nothing in construction that I have not participated. I participated in electrical installation, but I never had a license to practice, so I never practiced with help persons, you know, in the field. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying to you, sir, that in my field, I was a building supervisor. I raised a building supervisor contract to form my own company. And I had been executing some very great projects. Sweetfield Manor, for one, with all the swimming pools and all slave huts. I am the contractor who did that job. Sweetfield Manor here advertised, I'm the person that is very responsible for that. And many other great projects in Barbados. So I'm saying that if contractors, as a consultant, come together under this body, they be protected. So that we can investigate if some person owe persons for actual retention fees. This corporation can get that retention fees from those persons. So we would not get the kind of a lassadisticality that's going on in the country. So you call one poor people to be up in the next. We are looking for an equilibrium. That is the reason for this cooperative. So I'm telling you, sir, that as a consultant, my job is to make sure that everything works transparent. Because in my job as a contractor, there's no person in Barbados can say I owe them. They have to owe me. Because I make sure that transparency is being and proper work, because I believe in precision. Any person that knows barcode construction, that matters precision. And in my day as a build, I built 300 blocks. There's a gentleman with ARP construction. He would tell him I would build 400 blocks. We built houses in Fort George Park, Atlantic Shores, Ocean City, all over Barbados. So I am of the opinion that once we train persons correctly, because as a supervisor with a gentleman called Mr. McLaren Holder, a very mathematical genius. He's a very elder person. He's an elder contractor. He worked for 18 years. I was one of his supervisors when most of the buildings in the Bridgetown was not. I was a supervisor for him. And I remember that they had some serious men coming from prison. And people said, well, you can't work with them. But I worked with those men, serious men, and they loved me. Because the first thing is deportment. I don't attack persons because they have incarcerated for something on that same measure. See, you must be compatible and understand. And most of the boys in the block are not bad. The boys on the block are not bad. But you go into them to argue. No. When a fireman goes into a fire, he takes water. And these very people are clinging to me, but Mr. Bart, you want a pair? I said, wow. Because every day I only had tea this morning and I need to go. I said, go on and have it. You pick 5 minutes, you come out, oh, thank you, sir.
But I like your approach, and you put two big statements out already in terms of we have our young people sleeping too late, and you would like to see the abolition of the child labor laws, get young people working from earlier.
Yes,
sir. Devil find words for either hand. Correct. Listen, we got some, it's just gone 21 minutes after 11. Of course, we're going to invite some callers to come in at this time. Give us a call, 434-1790. And we got some messages here already. And some questions for you guys. So let's start with the first one. This is a recommendation. It says these skilled persons should be made to pass a building code test in their specific field, whether general, mason, electrical, plumbing, etc. It should be legislated, mandated for them to have a valid license to permit them to perform their job. So one, we need a building code passed into law, and two, a governing body to license all artisan and contractor companies. I'd like to get your response, panel. Anybody, yes, or everybody.
We agreed that that is a way to go to help police the sector. In order to get that, we got to do a database of all of these artisans in this country to ensure that we got the numbers that we are looking for. At this time, TVET Council have certifications for plumbing, carpentry, electrician, and joinery in a CVQ. They do not have certifications at supervisory level in construction. And the CVQ is a certification, international certification, English-Canadian certification that the government is embarking on at this time. And to get this rollout, even for the free movement of CARICOM, it got to happen due to the fact that in order for artisans to move through the country and through to the Caribbean, they have to be certified. And when certain people, artisans come into Barbados, they have to be certified as well. So in order to get the whole network working, something like that would be great, but the conversation need to start now in order to get it work. This is time now that this sector, a sector that is so powerful in the country, that persons are not unified at this time in the 53 years of independence in this country. So we got to start the conversation with the policymakers of this country in order to this thing to happen.
What move has your cooperative made to do something like that thus far in terms of getting in contact with policymakers to look at things like the registration of artisans and the regulation of the industry? Any plans, Mr. Consultant?
Yes.
Just go down that road?
Yes, sir. What we have done, we have reached out to certain ministries already, and I am of the opinion that we should be able to, as a cooperative and persons on board that are reputable, that we can have a look at all contracts that are being being handed out. And we're not only talking about contraction either, because it's contractor. Anytime you send a contract, you're a contractor. So we are actually inculcating all construction of contractors across the board. And also we're looking at a kind of a transparency in the equilibrium whereby a balance would go. You know, as I spoke about retention fees and certain conglomerates would not pay, these people can appeal to us. because we have the expertise, maybe can do it, having their retention fees being paid to them, because it is an unfair practice. I mean, not only in Barbados, but through this diaspora, that persons working that kind of thing, but it is not a prosperity in it. The only way that we can prosper properly is to be transparent. I mean, the things that we take wrongfully, automatically, when we get old, we get poor. And maybe we should be rich, get and being rich. And that is why I call for the Christian church to arise to the call. And if you are godly, then you're supposed to experience and mentor your country on godliness. So we are reaching out that we are here in case some person getting some problem with a contractor or whatever, because it should be registered under this body, because this body is legitimate. We have gone through all the protocols, coming to being all the government ministries we have actually spoken to, and who we haven't spoken to, we are about to speak to, so that these things can be transparent.
So the Minister of Labour, when you're looking at the labour aspect of it, the Minister with responsibility for consumer affairs, when you're looking at the customer side of it, I'm guessing. Okay, good. This next one says, there seems to be a lot of people who have no or very little skill in being able to measure blocks, pipes, tiles, and how to even mix the cement. Very sad. Some cannot even read a ruler or measuring tape. Also, when you are doing a job on your own, good luck buying decent quality items like nails to go through the cement. They bend and they break. What is going on, please? These mediocre products, from building materials to batteries to almost everything. What is going on? Why are we purchasing at high prices really horrible quality stuff? And it says contractors only hire their own certain people. They have their quota of jobs, so they do not hire anyone from outside of that circle. So that leaves a lot of unemployed workers like masons, etc. Also, the prefab concrete slabs is destroying the mason as a trade tool. And to have persons who cannot line up blocks, and blocks need cutting without wasting. It's so sad to see. I want to get some reaction from that on WhatsApp there.
Well, pertaining to that, at the end of the day, a lot of people, especially contractors who are buying inferior stuff, is not a good thing, but some they look at dollars and cents, right? Why the person that they are building for get the lesser end of the stick. Well, honestly, I'm a perfectionist and I'm passionate with whatever I do. So this cooperative, we will not be second guessing ourselves or bringing no inferior product or ability to any client that we come in contact with.
My question though is, if you have someone who joins the cooperative, but they are the type that, as you say, they look at the dollars and they believe they have a lot of sense, and what they do is they buy a lot of cheap products, and they then reflect on the cooperative. How does the cooperative plan to deal with such individuals or such situations?
Yes, sir. I will address that. Because what we have in our bylaws, our bylaws don't allow us to be to take bribes. Like, you have a job value of $1 million, and a fellow tell me, you give me a kickback for $500,000. That's 50%. So automatically what happened, you cannot purchase the materials that is necessary for the project. So we need to have the position by government so that we can police these unscrupulous officers and have them brought to justice. Because if you take these monies from these contractors, then they cannot purchase the correct materials, because they give a kit and then automatically see the projects lay waste with no windows. So that is what when a quantity surveyor or QS give you a quotation, he give you everything in that compaction. So you should not deviate. From the time you deviate because of shortcomings to get a job before another construction contractor, that is destruction. And in the end, these contractors remain poor up to today, because I have explained that. You, in your morning days, you'll be transparent. That is crazy. We have so many churches in Barbados, and we should be preaching that. Transparency and honesty is the best policy. I had a grandmother say, look, if you see a cent, you're not taking it, it's not yours. When I worked on a job as a young mason, all the concrete nails I would take my pocket, dust the cement off my clothes, and I go on. I worked for a major religious organization in Barbados building a temple. And I was the main contractor. It's an edifice for a place in Ealing Grove. And I was the mastermind, or one of the masterminds behind that project. And I'm trying to explain to you, sir, that unless that we as humanity come to the understand that we cannot prosper by skullduggery, we must prosper by legitimacy.
I like the information you give, in particular to financing. And I think we can come back to that a little later in the program, because from one of my understanding, in terms of small contractors, one of the big issue is looking at the mobilization fee and financing. A lot of them don't have the money up front and they lose out a lot. And then the very few that can capitalize projects get a lot of the work. That's another issue. The question I was asking, and I asked it a different way, when you have contractors in your cooperative that are doing shoddy work, how does the cooperative deal with that? That's the question.
All right. If we have, first, all of the contractors, the cooperative tender to get contracts in this country. And the contracts will go across the board pertaining to the requirements of the carpenter and the mason. And we expect, and we will enforce that we will deal with the standard, the building standard of this country, and no shortcuts. We will ensure that we have competent men that can execute and lead some of the young men in this country. So we're saying we will be policing the quality and the standard of work before it hand over to the client. And if there's a subcontractor that in adhering to the order, because you got to deal with order and the requirements and the standard, then he will come to a discipline committee.
So you all set up a discipline committee within, and it's not going to be like the Bar Association, huh? They get a lot of complaints. It's just lawyers, judging lawyers, and the people don't show up, and the whole cycle. How can we not reinvent the wheel, but make it more effective?
Well, this cooperative is a cooperative that it offers shares to members, and a contractor that carry out a subcontract job for the cooperative, he know is the same company he billing. So if he go out there and he doing shabby work, he know that his share line will be limited. So billing the cooperative and billing out the cooperative, everybody go out to get in line and get on board and know to execute 100% quality work.
This one says, panelists, that is a great work ethic, but how many people think the way that you do? Most seem to think, how quickly can I separate you from your money? That's just a comment there. Lots of comments coming in, lots of WhatsApps. No calls as yet, 4341719. I'm going to ask this question here. It goes, for a long time now, I go on recommendations and that has worked for me. One strike and you're out. That's what this person says. This next one is a question to you guys. How does one become a contractor? Very interesting question. Because a couple of years back, everybody was a contractor. Lots of contractors, when there was a lot of, when I had the building boom, lots of contractors came out of that. How does one become a contractor to your mind?
Yeah, I will address that. I believe that you become a contractor every year, you should also pass through apprenticeship. Apprenticeship masonry, you should have some carpentry, you should be able to do quotations too. Although you might not be reputable, because I've done a course in construction management and with the Small Business Association. I'm a member of the Small Business Association, and they were very instrumental in sending their members to different projects in school so they can be certified. Mm-hmm. Even the Honorable Mayor Moore Morton, she presented my certificate to me at the Grand Salle of the Central Bank. So it is very good for a person who want to be a contractor to be have a knowledge of plumbing, masonry, carpentry, electrical installation, laboring, and all these things. And in that knowledge, in order to become a contractor, you should be able to some person who can monitor foremen. Because you're a contractor, you're not the person now doing the job, but you should know if you come on a site, if it's last days ago, because you have different stages to reach. You should have a plan. You got a first stage, second account, how you draw down the bank or whatever. So that is the way that you can become a contractor, but you must be have a proper knowledge of all the different going-ons on the site.
The certificate.
Yes.
The certificate. Now, there's a suggestion here I want to put to you guys. There are two sides to this. This says, thanks, Corey. These tradesmen should be hired through an agency and given a registration number to be tracked by. Now, for this, I think this could be good in terms of accountability, but is that now the death of the self-employed guy that just wants to come up and do a trade? How do we square off and balance that particular question off? Should it go through an agency, or should people be still be allowed to do a little mechanics outside of the house, etc.? Anyone can take that question.
Well, honestly speaking, everything needs control. But at the end of the day, paperwork is necessary, but not always means that the best way to go. But in this society, it is. Because to be brutally honest, I went to the highest level of construction, bringing some big projects to finish as a finished supervisor. And honestly, I do not have all that necessary paperwork that is required now. But I have bring home some of the biggest jobs in Barbados before.
What you stating here is very controversial to my mind. Because for years, we've had this belief and we've told our children, you know, you ain't doing too good with the buttwork, so gonna let you do something with the hands. Have y'all not heard that coming up?
Yeah, of course.
As soon as you ain't doing good in the books, going to look to do something with your hands. Mm-hmm. But now y'all are saying, you know, you need to have the buttwork. You said it, Michael Harris.
Yes.
You saying that is a cross between the two.
Exactly.
What say you, Bartlett?
Yeah. What I say as a consultant, I mean, plenty of people after I left school, although I didn't get to know big elaborate school, because of the knowledge they knew that I had, because they could do long division, compound interest, simple, they could work in the bank. I went at transport board and worked for some time. I went at customs, central customs, I went at different places and worked in the academia field. So I believe that in a country like Barbados, where education is so prevalent and so easily attained, I don't see why reason why young persons can't do the tables, actually
to but take my question to you. If you ain't good in the bookwork, you send them into a trade, or you need the bookwork to go into the trade?
But they must all go together. But it would not be, sir, what I'm saying that you wouldn't have to be a professor.
A scholar, right, correct. Right?
But you can know the ordinary mathematical skills.
Basic.
So that you can help, you can measure, you can convert metric into imperial, or imperial into metric, whatever.
I got you 100%.
Yes, sir.
22 minutes before noon, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to go straight to the telephone calls. This is Brass Act Sunday in association with Williams Industries Incorporated.
You do not have to be a roofing expert to know that a metal sheet will rust where it is joined. That is one reason why the beautiful permaclad U-panel and R-panel roof sheet sold at Williams Metals will outlast other roofing materials. Permaclad, colorclad, and corrugated sheets are cut to the exact length that you will need, up to 40 feet and even longer. That means no joints from ridge to eave. Colorclad sheets come with a factory painted finish in white, blue, green, red, brown, and yellow, and are fitted with screws for added resistance, tested to withstand high winds up to 130 miles an hour. Get a rail roof supplied at competitive prices, delivered to you today from Williams Metals. Simply call Williams at Kane Garden St. Thomas 425-2000 or Lowlands Christ Church 428-1500.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Brass Tax Sunday, we go to the calls. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Corey.
Yes, please. Yes, Mr. Yes. Saide.
Good morning to you and the guest.
Mm-hmm.
I have four questions, okay?
Yes, please.
First, I want to know what questions should I ask before hiring a contractor? That's one.
Let me take them one by one because I prefer to take it one by one. Let's go with that one first, gentlemen.
Okay.
I believe the first thing she should do is call the cooperative, the contractor cooperative. They call us first and we can direct her along that line because we have reputable quantity surveyors and persons who would be loyal, and we swear to be loyal to our customers. You know?
Next question.
Okay, my other question is, how much money can a contractor ask for up front?
But yeah, I believe that the contractor, there's something called a mobilization fee according to if the contract is reputable. You can't just go and put a mobilization fee in any person's hand. So that's why we have this cooperation, because this cooperation will be loyal to their customers. You put the mobilization fee by us, and you would know where your money is. Your money won't be any person's hands going. And then we'll do the contraction according to the degree of the work, the what kind of work is there, 10-story building or whatever, you know to move from there.
What's the standard, or like 50%, 20%, 30%? Is there a particular standard or something you guys are more comfortable with? 10%?
10%.
10%? Okay. Question number 3.
How much does a contractor charge per hour then? And if it wants, how much you would charge per hour?
But it don't go by the hour. It goes by the what the specs are, what it is you're doing. Because you can't tell a fella that work by the hour if he blame blocks or whatever or do like that, unless it's job work. So there's different qualities of work and different kinds of work. So you must always be understanding. There's some people that are lay people do not understand real construction.
Hold a minute.
Yeah.
All right, last one then. Can a contractor charge more than the contract?
Naturally, the contract, it's something that is called miscellaneous, or you can, if you add more work to what it is, that way you should have a professional quantity of air. Because if you, sometimes you're doing a job, you're laying 10 blocks, and you see you want 5 more blocks
laid. Variations.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So then that'd be different. So you can't say that the contract, that means the contract is being breached.
But that happens a lot. And because we're talking about contracts, but the average Barbadian listening right now, you go down the road, your car horn for tick, 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 you carry it to a mechanic. He said, come look at this. This can cost you about $200. He goes in and says, look, this lung loose, this hose pop, this thing. So you budget $200 and you hang. You understand? Mm-hmm. When you go back now, he tell you $1,200. Mm-hmm. And that happens more often than not. So that's the question she's asking. Can you increase on the contract? No, the methodology for that in my mind, and you guys correct me, is that if you see something more, you call the customer, you say, listen, this is going to be additional. Do I proceed or not? Before they proceed. But a lot of times people hold you for ransom.
Exactly.
Because they got your car.
It's true.
And until you pay that $1,200, you cannot get back your car. What is the best practice for that?
Well, honestly speaking, as we, this corporation is, got the best people, honest people on board. And that's what we're about.
This corporation is a panacea. We solve everything with this. Because if it's that, we got to give up the number for this cooperative, and we're going through this cooperative, right?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
All right, caller, that's it?
Yeah, look, I asked the question, so...
You do the follow-up.
Other callers that call in will follow up from my questions, mm-hmm. and hear what them the question will, feedback to them.
Well, thanks for jump-starting us this morning, yeah? Brastat Sunday, good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning.
Yes, please.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. And you?
Well, not so bad. This is a very important topic, John, but I think it takes more than just one programming for this,
mm-hmm.
as far as I'm concerned. Also, to the panel there, right? I need to ask a question, and there might be a few things I might be able to think. Now, anyone that can explain to me or the public what is the difference between an estimate and a quotation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll answer that.
No, I'm leaving that with you, because I need to go on again. Okay, go ahead. Say what you think.
An estimate is an estimation of something. It can go up or down. But a quotation is supposed to be done by a professional, which gives you all the square footage or the square meterage in whatever you're doing. So that there will be a base given for that. And then you will have overheads or whatever in it in order to be compatible. So it's different. Some person will come and give you an estimate, and they can come back and later on and tell you that I estimated wrong or whatever. You don't need to be part of it. That way, this corporation is being founded, because we want to address all these issues so that Barbados wouldn't go on, we'll build back again as we were before.
So now, if you give a quote, right, as you said, when the code have been accepted and the contractor that is registered with you started the job and then recognized that they are less off and not target to the estimate.
Yeah.
It's not going to cause a problem?
No, that's why you say that's why we are a corporation, because we would not be on that base. You're talking about unscrupulous activity, but we are saying that when we give a job to a contractor, it is a reputable organization. We're a reputable organization. We make sure that everything is in place. We expect so, that, yeah.
Because okay, so for listening to you, right, it is like a compulsory that you have to come today and then you all do the estimate, quotation, and things like that. That's very, what you're saying.
Very correct, because we're having some experienced, knowledgeable young minds from the University of West Indies, and we have these people on board. And not we are just the founders, but we are just the oversighting, but we are just the entity that is coming to bring Barbados and the Caribbean and the international world online, because it's new world order. Because what we are doing is we're bringing the world. We are feeding everybody. We are the fellows on the block. We are making sure that everything runs smoothly. We are bipartisan. Even the very government ministers after they retire, they can join the organization and be a part of it. That is what it's about. We are not. It's not an organization that we are doing professionally. It's a professional.
So what is the minimum in estimate or so that you all were handled? Let's say $400 job or $500 job. Where that comes in?
Anything, yeah, that comes into anything. We just want to look at a job. We just look at things that we look anything. If you have a sidewalk to build, a road to build, a golf course to build, anything from the smallest to the biggest, you have a multi-billion story, because we have the professionals. Even if we got to get the professionals from LA, we are dealing with the universities and the places of construction whereby we can have these people on board, because we have many of them on board already. Yes, please.
Where does the cost come in with that small amount?
Pardon me?
The cost, because it's going to cost, you're going to get peace out of it. The professional are going to get peace out of it, right? So you would order all of that onto it.
But this is also a philanthropic, or we do philanthropy. We also are inculcating schools. At one stage, we'll be adopting schools. We're adopting hospitals. If something have to be done at different places, we can adopt them. So it is not that the job too small. We are actually also accommodating all persons. Are you?
But you didn't answer me that. Let's say there's a little job somebody wants down the road to just get something done, a little plumbing or so, change up thing, right?
That's in the majority.
Yes. And that's in the majority, as you said, right? That will come up to about, say, maybe if the plumber pay is about, say, $60 or whatever the case may be, right? They come to you. When you give that estimate, you have to put on something.
Yes, I agree, because that. Yeah, but we would be putting on sick. But we'd be just dealing with situations accordingly. We would be in the realm of that. Looking
okay,
to
I'm just saying that because I've been in construction for quite a while, right? And this is something I want. This corporation, as you say, set up, right? Put into thing because they blame contractors and contractors blame people. Or if the contractors don't blame people, I could blame some. But I believe to myself, right, that when a contractor or a builder build a house for someone for approximately, say, $250,000, getting $100 a day, right? And as soon as that house is finished, 2 days after, that $250,000 house become $500,000. And the $100 that the worker or the contractor pay, right, at least go to the supermarket and then into the toilet, right? Try to put it that way, but I'm saying that the limited amount of money just vanish and they get nowhere in life. But you could see somebody now having a house built for $200,000 with a skill, and then the day after that house is finished, it is $500,000. Look at the difference that they make, and then the workman or the contractor gets nothing. So I would like you all to look at that, because they should get some rebate after a period of time. I don't know if you agree with that, but that's something I feel should look into.
But, sir.
All right. I will address that matter. You'll start by dealing with a house pertaining to its square footage. And there's a square footage rate to build a house. And you also can add overheads and profits. So if you hire a professional quantity surveyor, he will give you all the dimensions of the square footage and also the measurements of cost of material and cost of labor. In that case, the QS will know the cost to build the house. And you saying that you was a former contractor, has you ever went to the level where you have any training in pricing your work from the drawing to assure yourself that you have a job that can give you a profit, basically, like, and also can overheads and problems pertaining to the job? You ever went to that level where, or you only operate on level on billing at a day of work?
Well, I'm glad you come that way. So you might be able to find out my ability, right? And these are some of the problems, right? I'm a trained carpenter, right? Designer, right? And mason as such, because I raised up in a construction home.
Right.
Now, if you call me to do a thing for you, like a house, okay?
To build a house from scratch with a drawing?
To build a house from scratch, right? And I get the plans, right? One of the things I would do is look at all of the material. Where the material is selling reasonable and of quality. I look at the workmen that's going to work with me that I could trust or that I have to look after every day, right? Then I look at the proper salary or wages that person is qualified to get, because I can't give one person $100 and then another person $90 when that person is not so, what you call, technical. Because there's a difference to me between technical and skill, right? Because in the technical form, you can get a job, and because of your technical, execution, can get the job done faster, better, because you approach it from a different point of view.
Experience.
When I do all of that, hold on, I'm just trying to get straight. When I do all of that work out, right, and I put in also for loss of time, you know, sometimes you're on the job and the rain and so forth, right, or for other things. When I put all together and then I come to you, I will lay out to you, right, everything that I am about to do. The reason for that is because I understand if I go to court, right, that I'm supposed to show the judge or the magistrate how I come by the price. Because if that person in the middle of the job have an operation with one of the children or there's an accident, that person have to be able to tell me at today's time, well, I cannot go on with the job because I have to use the money for things. And they will be able to give me the difference up to that point in time. Right?
All right. I'm still missing some points in there. How you arrive at your price, mm-hmm, based on measurements?
How do you have to let him go? Because it can't be. It's hard to interrogate an issue like that from the beginning to the end. That's why I would need mediation or consultation out. So we glad for him to whet the appetite and get started. Because one of the things I want to do is look at the issues of the majority of people outside. And what the thing I would like to achieve by 1:15 is for Barbadians to have their eyes open up in a way, want to come to a cooperative like yours where they can prevent, because prevention is better than cure. But also to have the eyes open in a way in terms of what question, what's the right questions to ask, what's the things to look for, what's the norm, because they got a lot of people out there getting the eyes jerk out day by day by day. Some of them both eyes jerk out by now. A lot of questions. I can try to balance between the questions coming in here and the calls, but we got another call just before noon. Good morning and welcome. You're on the air, Brass Talk Sunday.
Good morning, Mr. Corey.
Hi, morning, sir.
And good morning to your gentlemen there. Now, I'm going to ask some questions. I know for sure that Barbados have got some very skilled workers in terms of the departments, whether it be carpentry, electrical work, masonry. What is the difference between a subcontractor and a contractor? The reason I'm asking that question is because I have to carry on from this particular point, knowing that Barbados have been able to produce some top-quality workmen. Knowing that Barbadians have worked mostly in areas of subcontracting and not contracting. Can the gentleman tell me, explain to me how they differentiate as they're forming this cooperation between a subcontractor and a contractor?
All right. A subcontractor is a main contractor that tender for a job, and the subcontractor is coming and be subcontract portion of the work. For instance, the carpentry, the plumbing, the steel bending, all of those go down as subcontract. It's a building team, and it carries a lot of persons on the job that enter in agreement with the main contractor.
So after an evaluation has been done in terms of cost from the subcontractor, equipment and everything, I, the builder, will have an exact idea of what the property will cost me to build. Wrong or right?
The main contractor already tender on the major job.
No, please don't jump. Please don't jump the curtain.
But you answer first question.
I just gave a first answer, but the second part. Listen to what I'm saying before you jump and find a problem. I have said at the opening, Barbados have got some very skilled workers.
Right.
I then asked the question: what is the difference between a subcontractor and a contractor?
Right.
The reason I've asked that is that in most cases that if the contractor undertake to build a property or a wall for some person and he has to subcontract the work, the subcontractor does not charge me. It is the contractor who charges me.
Correct.
So that's what I'm saying. So technically speaking, from joint A to joint B to joint C, all the definitions of the project has got to pass through the contractor. So the contractor will be able to say to me, well, look, to build this garage is going to cost X amount of money because this is what the labor will involve, and this is what the material will involve, and this is what the work will involve. So you'll then be able to say to the builder, the owner, it will cost you $75,000. Not during the process of the work, then you turn and tell me, well, look, I did not quote for sand. I did not quote for this. So eventually my $75,000 now move on to $80,000, which I did not plan for. What I'm saying that, and I think I know who I'm talking to, and I believe that one of the problems facing all business people in Barbados, a lot of us must understand that, okay, this is how they address it. Okay, I can deal with that, not a problem. Or I will get it sorted. So eventually the business aspect of it, the business aspect of it as far as delivering the project as a finished project and the payment then justifies that a professional approach has been made to the venture and a professional approach has been made to the finish. Now, yes, I believe Barbados needs a co-op as far as our contractors are concerned. I also believe that there's a need for an understanding among those who can be subcontractors and those who can be contractors. It don't make sense some person jumping from a subcontractor to a contractor when he does not understand reading the blueprint. It does not make sense the person jumping from a subcontractor to the belief that he can contract. When in true fact, your organization is going to be faced with a problem that you have undertaken a group of work as a contractor, but within the vicinity, you're not really contractors. I think I know who I'm talking to. Excellent workmen that I'm talking to, they know. Some men who have done some excellent work in this country, I know who I'm talking to. But the problem, I think, is that we must approach this as a business situation. We must supply here the guy talk just now about the fact that knowing the amount of workmen you can have. And he called a house a thing. Can you imagine the contractor coming to work for me and calling my house a thing? He can't call my house a thing, man. And that is what I'm just saying. I just heard that someone had to ask him, what are you talking about? And you're talking about the house. You cannot call my property, whether it be a garage, whether it be a wall, a thing. I work for you as a contractor to put up a guard wall.